This podcast is brought to you by Link, simply the best place to learn languages. To learn from the following podcast, sign up for a free account at Link, LINGQ.com, where you can study the full transcript using Link's revolutionary learning tools. Hello again for another English Link installment. Mark here with Steve.
Hello.
How's it going today?
Oh, not too bad. You know what I was thinking we should talk about is children.
Okay.
And it just seems to me that if I compare my childhood, which is a long time ago, to what goes on now, I think parents are much more sort of ambitious for their kids, organizing their kids, getting them into activities, whether it be sports or music. It seems that parents spend half their time organizing or driving their children to events, and that the children don't do as much on their own as they used to. I don't know whether you feel this compared to your childhood.
I mean, I think that's definitely true, although it's not that much different than when I was a kid. Yeah, we spent a lot of time going to different events, being taken to different events, and I remember you complaining when I was a kid that, you know, when I was your age, I'd just show up at the field and all my friends were there and we'd play football all day. Whereas, you know, that really didn't happen for me that much.
No, it's true. If you go to the, there are lots of playgrounds here in Vancouver. And either there's an organized event on there, kids in uniform playing soccer or baseball, or they're empty. You don't just have people showing up. Whereas when I was young, there were all the fields. There would be baseball games. You go down there. We would organize something. We would divide up into two teams. Or football. We didn't play soccer. And in the winter, they would flood the rinks, the skating rinks. And if you went down there, and I would go down there every day after supper and on the weekends, and we'd be there for hours. And there would be three or four games going in different directions, different ages of kids. But there were always kids at the park.
I mean, I think that still happens with hockey when you have an outdoor rink that just sits there when it's not taken up by organized hockey. Like, well, when we're at Big White skiing over on vacations, there's an outdoor rink, and that's what happens there. People show up and join in the game, and, and I think that's the same. I mean, it's not cold enough in Vancouver for outdoor ice like that, but I think where they do have rinks, I think that still happens, although maybe not, probably not as much.
You know, it's interesting. I'm trying to think for a sort of think of reasons. One might be that the families were much bigger when I was growing up, so parents didn't have so much time to spend on one or two children, because they had more children. So the children had to kind of look after themselves and create their own entertainment and their own activities. Whereas now, perhaps two parents have children later, although that wasn't your case, and that wasn't my case, of course. And so they are much more serious about their parenting activities, maybe.
Could be. Also, you know, maybe there are more things to do now. You know, between the computer, the TV, the different entertainments that people can take part in, plus maybe the fact that communication is easier in a way, so it's easier to organize events. And once you have organized events, then the unorganized kind maybe take a back seat, because if it's not organized, all of a sudden people don't show up anymore. Whereas before, they would just show up.
Right.
I'm not really sure.
You know, it's interesting. It reminds me of the story that's told about how these boys used to show up on this field and play football right near this old man's home, and they were very noisy. So the old man didn't like them playing football there. So he said, "Boys, I really like you coming here to play football, and if you keep coming, I'll give you each 25 cents every time you show up." And the boys thought that was great, so they showed up for a couple of weeks, played football, and then the old man said, "You know, I can't afford 25 cents anymore, but I'll give you each 10 cents if you show up." And they were happy with that, and they came and played football. And then finally the old man said, "You know what, I can't afford to pay you anymore, so I won't be able to give you anything, but please keep coming out. And of course, and then the kids stop showing up. No. Whether that's a true story or not,
right.
Who knows, you know, who knows. But it is true. Once you get organizing kids, then they don't necessarily organize themselves anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, they're happy to, on the other hand, on the playground, like if they're all at school,
mm-hmm.
if they're all there,
right?
They organize their own activities and mm-hmm. Lunch hour and so on. But I guess they don't all show up somewhere on the weekend. I mean, once you get the kids in one place, they're happy to play mm-hmm. on their own. They don't need supervision.
But this relates to another thing, too, and that is when I was growing up, everybody walked or bicycled to school.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, people are driven or they take a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be this feeling that you can't just let kids wander off on their own to do things.
Some people are a little more uptight about that kind of thing than others. But, you know, after a certain age, a lot of kids wander around just like mm-hmm. they used to. Maybe, I don't know that that's, I mean, that's part of the story for sure. Some people, mm-hmm. their kids have to be driven everywhere. I have forgotten what I was going to say now.
Mm-hmm. But this whole business of organizing, I mean, even in the schools, you know, I don't want to be always critical of the education system, but they're always coming up with new ideas, new ways. They have their, here in Canada, at least the teachers regularly get what are called professional days where they have meetings and talk about how they can do things better. And I'm not convinced that educational standards are getting better. I'm not sure that kids read better now than they did before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe it was always that way. You know, there's a apparently, if you go back to ancient Greece, the older generation was always complaining about the younger generation. So
mm-hmm.
it would seem to suggest that the older generation was pretty good, whereas in fact, if you go back, they had some pretty awful things. Life was short. They were pretty violent. So who knows?
Who knows? I mean, I think that's always a part of it. The older generation thinks what goes on nowadays is no good
mm-hmm.
Compared to when I was a kid. I mean, that's obviously a pretty common theme.
Right.
But there are things that I was reading an article in the newspaper today, or online actually, Google News, talking about how some whatever researcher had come out with a study saying that all the efforts at preventing boys from engaging in violent acts or playing with violent toys or not playing or preventing them from playing violent computer games may in fact have a negative effect, because she claims those are valuable outlets for natural tendencies in boys, and if you stifle that, then it leads to other problems. It leads to them not doing as well in school and so forth. And that, I mean, I don't know if that's the reason, but certainly boys don't do as well in school now as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a variety of theories for that, but that was one I read today.
Well, you know, and then you hear the theory that that violent TV programs and violent computer games contribute to violence.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you look at some of the most violent places in the world, like the wars they had in Yugoslavia,
right,
or even in Rwanda,
mm-hmm.
and some of the examples of tremendously violent activities, I don't think it was television violence that contributed
no.
to those activities. So,
what's more, and it mentioned in this study as well that you know, over the last 10 years, say, or 15 years, there's been an explosion in the usage of violent computer games. And it has not seen a corresponding increase in violent crime. In fact, there's been a decrease.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly that correlation can't be drawn.
Although the decrease in violent crime might be related to the population getting older. So
could
I don't
be.
Know if they looked at that particular cohort, as they say, that
age group.
I guess
I'm not
yeah.
sure exactly, but they implied
right.
that there was, in fact, it had the reverse effect
mm-hmm.
on violence, the increase in
right.
increased usage in computer violent computer games.
Well, all of these different subjects create very useful areas of study for sociologists
mm-hmm.
and educators, and they can apply for funding and do in-depth studies that all contradict each other and
right.
get published, and then you read about them in your newspaper.
That's right. That's essentially it.
Yeah.
Although I do think that, I mean, I think there is some truth to the fact you don't want to, you know, drown kids in violent movies and violent video games. But you know, I've seen parents that, you know, won't let their little boy play with a sword or you know, play with a water gun. Well, that's just, in my opinion, that's just silly. Like, obviously, there's some innate tendency to want to play with weapons of some kind,
right?
In especially in boys, and you know, most people turn out just fine. So
I think too that the emphasis should not be on what you can take away from boys or children in general. Is what can you do to stimulate their interest?
Mm-hmm.
And stimulate their interest, you know, in things so that they can learn about things and discover things. And there, you know, one of my hobby horses when it comes to language training or anything is to not have the teacher dictate too much what, you know, within a particular area. Let the child explore, particularly when they're very young, things that are of interest to them, or put some choices in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe some people don't like choice. I don't know. But a lot of what we learned at school is not very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I saw a video on YouTube the other day about where a bunch of Americans at random were asked questions about world geography, and they didn't know much.
Right.
They were even asked the question, you know, how many sides to a triangle? And they didn't, and the person didn't know. And so this was used, of course, quite unfairly to say, oh, the Americans are all poorly educated.
Those movies always tend to be a little less.
Yeah, and then so someone went out to say, well, we'll do the same in Germany and England,
yeah, exactly.
And people were just as stupid. You can always edit out the people who have a good answer, and you can always find people in every country who probably didn't focus on your question or whatever. So, it is true that we can all learn more, and the more interesting they make it at school, the more likely kids are to learn.
Right.
And so that, you know, whether it be it's a fine line between either parents or teachers imposing activities or what to do on children, and allowing children to explore whether they want to go and play on their own, whether they want to play with a sword. And if you don't give them a sword, they'll get a stick and they'll do it. You know, you've got to let kids explore.
Right. Yeah. The other theory in all this is that especially the boys again, because there is the issue of boys not doing as well in school, that there's less discipline in schools now than there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was more discipline, perhaps that would get those boys to pay attention more. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you're saying you want to let them explore.
Right.
But I guess they can explore, but behave at the same time
is
obviously a requirement. And now it's, well, the teachers don't have much power to enforce discipline in classrooms.
I mean, the other thing is, I mean, we said this before, I mean, we used to have corporal punishment. In other words, I used to get hit when I was in school. And if ever a teacher, you know, criticized me, my parents would always side with the teacher.
Right.
Whereas now, parents tend to side with their child.
Right.
And I agree with you, much more discipline. I think teachers should come properly dressed to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see teachers wearing jeans in a classroom. I just think that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think the teachers should wear, you know, I don't know, perhaps a jacket, maybe not a tie, that there should be a certain uniform, and this is a teacher, a person that you respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't call him by his first name or her first name.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of this kind of stuff. But I think you can still structure the activities, the learning activities, in a way that allows the children to explore. But I agree with you on discipline, absolutely. It just destroys it for those, because it's normally a small group who are disrupting it for the majority.
Well, exactly, and the teacher spends all her time trying to get the small group to pay attention or stop distracting the rest of the class, and it is kind of silly. Anyway, I'm sure there are lots of reasons and lots of future studies for all the sociologists out there.
Right.
Probably still be arguing about this a few generations from now.
For sure.
I think we'll sign off.
For all you parents out there.
Yeah.
And children.
Let us know your thoughts on education. Talk to you later.